Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Follow Your Path. My name is Abdul Abid. I am a surgical pathology fellow at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. And today, we will be talking with Dr. Ari Berry. He is a professor of pathology and director of neuropathology at University of California, San Francisco. I am also joined today by a future pathologist, Virginia Fernandez. Welcome to the show, Dr. Berry.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Starting off, I have one question, but it has some subsets, so you can answer them one by one. If you could please tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to medical school and residency, and how did you end up doing neuropathology?
Sure. So I was actually born in Jerusalem, Israel, and my father was also a physician. He was an OB-GYN, and he ended up, during the Vietnam War era. There was a shortage of physicians in the States, so he thought it was a good opportunity to come and do his residency in the U.S. So we moved to New York and at Albert Einstein University or hospital, and that's where he did his residency. So I've moved around quite a bit. From there, we went to Houston. I went to college in Austin, Texas, and then UT Southwestern for medical school and residency. Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota for both surgical pathology fellowship and neuropathology fellowship. And then I spent 12 years of my early career at WashU in St. Louis, and now I'm at UCSF in San Francisco. So that's kind of how I got here. And then you asked how I got into neuropathology? I guess I, like most medical students, to go way back to that point, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do in college. I got really interested in genetics, and I thought, you know, maybe I would be an MD, PhD and focus on genetics. But I ended up doing a couple of summers of research that were kind of frustrating. And I talked to a lot of my dad's friends, and they said, well, you know, you don't have to have a PhD to do research if that's what you like, and so you can be an MD, an MD, and still do research. So I went into medical school as an MD, and then at a certain point, I had my dad's, one of his friends was an ENT, and I got really interested in ENT surgery and all the great anatomy in the head and neck area, and I thought, you know, with my interest in singing, maybe I would be an ENT and focus specifically on people that are singers. So I worked with an ENT mentor for the first couple of years, and one of the things he told me is pay attention to pathology. That's the bridge between the basic sciences and clinical medicine. So I ended up, they offered an autopsy externship between my second and third year of medical school, so I ended up taking that because of his advice. And ended up liking it way more than I thought I ever would. You know, sitting in class, you just don't realize what pathology is all about. I mean, I really didn't have a clue, but doing the externship, I really enjoyed the detective work, going through the charts and thinking, you know, what would I have thought with this patient at this point in the care? And then later on, what would I have thought, what I have done? And then I do the autopsy and find out for myself what was really going on. And so I really enjoyed that. And then I ended up doing, when I did surgery, I did not enjoy that as much as I thought. I distinctly remember my intern getting so excited because someone told him, you get to do the next hernia repair. And I stopped and I thought, you know, if somebody told me right now I get to do the next hernia repair, I'd be like, yeah, okay. And if I'm going to be a surgeon, spend all my time in the OR, I really have to really love it. So that's kind of how I got into pathology. And then in pathology, I just ended up thinking the brain was just so interesting. I mean, it's where we live. There's so much unknown that, you know, I enjoy being a student, and I knew there's no way I'm going to master everything. And you could say that for all the other specialties too, but I think especially with neuro, there's so much to learn that I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And I had a couple of really good mentors in neuro when I was a resident that that inspired me, I think, to consider that as a specialty. One was Chuck White. So I was at UT Southwestern. So Chuck White and Dennis Burns, and both excellent teachers, and really made the topic kind of come to life, and was really interesting. So it's probably true of everybody that they had somebody who made that topic really interesting for them. And that's how I ended up in neuropathology. Long-winded answer, but
yeah, that's perfectly acceptable.
Good.
Can you share with us a case that you found most interesting in your career as a neuropathologist?
That is a tough one, because there's so many cases that are interesting, even on a daily basis. Every day I have so many cases that I struggle with and say, this is really fascinating. I've actually just thinking right now what's kind of, I have a couple of colleagues at the moment, one in GU pathology sharing a testicular germ cell tumor with me that's got what looks like probably a glioma arising in the mature teratoma part. And at the same time, gynecologic pathology case where they're asking me about this patient of a woman with mature teratoma again and gliomatosis peritonei, and they want me to look at, now there's something malignant growing in the peritoneum, and again it looks like a glioma. So I think these two cases are very similar, related, and so right at this second, those are the cases that are I'm finding particularly interesting, but there's been thousands of fascinating cases, I think.
If you had to talk to a medical student who's going to be a future pathologist, such as Virginia, or a junior resident who has not yet made up their mind about their specialty, and how would you convince them, or at least try to convince them, that neuropathology should be an option for them? Like, what makes neuropathology so unique?
Yeah, great question. I try not to push people or, quote, convince them. I think people should follow what they find really fascinating and interesting. And I think, everyone's a little different. And so I say follow your hearts, go into what you find the most interesting. And if neuropathology is it, I think it's a great field. It's it tends to be fewer cases than many of the other fields, but very high complexity cases. So you spend more time with each case than you would in other areas. I think it's still a very broad field. So, you know, for me, I'm really fascinated by the tumors and the surgical neuropathology in general, but some people like neurodegenerative diseases, some people like neuromuscular pathology, pediatric neuropathology, and some people kind of pair it up. I've had a couple of fellows that were particularly interested in forensics, and so they do forensic neuropathology. So it's still a very, even though it's a small specialty, it's a really wide area of interest, and there's lots of different things you can do. Some neuropathologists spend most of their day running a lab and doing research. Some neuropathologists do purely clinical work and maybe pair it up with other areas of pathology of interest. So I know most neuropathologists I know are in academics, but I know quite a few in private practice also that pair it up with general surgical pathology. There are many that do other kind of pair it up with other things, whether it's, you know, being a residency director. I've had several fellows that ended up doing that, and they really like education, and so they're focused on teaching. Some people do more administrative type roles. Most of us, I think, do a combination of everything, which I really like. So there's lots, I think, the advantage of neuropathology, there's lots of different career paths, lots of different options you can follow, depending on what you really enjoy doing.
And what would you say is the most gratifying aspect of your job as a neuropathologist?
For me personally, I really enjoy my consult service, and it's something I've built up over the years. And to me, it's it's really gratifying getting a challenging case that other people have not been able to figure out. And then often with a lot of extra work, immunohistochemistry, molecular, whatever the case may be, that, you know, that I finally get to, aha, this is the answer. And I feel like I really helped the patient. At that point, it feels really gratifying. Now they can give the appropriate therapy. So that's, I think, what I find most gratifying. And my field, probably like many, is becoming more molecular over time, but I feel like we're getting more and more accurate. When I first started, it was like everything else. It was, this is a GBM because it looks like a GBM kind of thing. And it was all a gestalt, you know, it was all pattern recognition. But now it's getting much more molecular and scientific and more objective. I mean, there's still a lot of art to it, just like any other area of pathology. But I feel like we're getting more and more accurate, and I feel like I'm helping patients more now than ever before. So I find that really gratifying.
Well, that's wonderful to know. Yeah. And the feeling when you get, I'm still a fellow, so I can't really say that I have the same expertise or experience as you, but still, like, when I get a diagnosis that is the actual diagnosis, I'm like, aha, this is the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, you're on a high for the day, right? You know, I got it, you know, I got it right. I feel confident that I got it right.
So for neuropathology, and you're also a neuropathology fellowship director, what is the fellowship like in general or in your experience?
Yeah, it's one of the few fellowships that's 2 years rather than 1 year. And it's structured slightly differently throughout the country, depending where you go. For us, like many people, I think the first year is entirely clinical. You're pretty much immersed in the clinical side. And we have two fellows and divide kind of somewhat arbitrarily our service into A and B. And every 2 months, the fellows switch. But, you know, it includes the hospital surgical cases, plus the hospital autopsy cases. That's one of the main groupings. And then the other one includes the consult service, which can be quite busy, plus eye pathology, plus neuromuscular pathology. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but that's mainly, I think, the division of our cases. So I think for the fellows early on, it's a little overwhelming. There's, you know, probably true of everything again, if there's a steep learning curve at the beginning, but every time they come back to the service, they're much more capable. You know, they remember a lot more. And I think they feel like they get a handle on things by the end of the year. In the second year, we have a month of forensic neuropathology where the fellows spend time at the medical examiners, and a month of neurodegenerative diseases focused purely on autopsy neurodegenerative diseases because it's such a complicated area. Then we have a number of electives people can do to get more experience in different areas. We try to give people graduated responsibilities in the second year. So rather than being like the fellow, they can be like a junior attending on the brain cutting. They can run the brain cutting in some of the cases. They can work with the resident, work up the case, choose the immunostains and the molecular or whatever, and then bring it to the attending at the end to sign out. So there's, I think, a lot of flexibility in the second year, depending how people want to do it. And then whatever the rest of the time, up to 10 months, is protected research time. So people can either do little projects if they're very clinically oriented, or they can choose to do a postdoctoral fellowship if they want and start with that year and just continue. And for those people that want to run their own labs and get R01 funding and things like that. So there's a lot of variability in how people structure the second year.
And what advice do you have for residents who are interested in going into this specialty?
I would say, you know, get exposure, you know, do an elective in neuropathology, talk to people, talk to fellows, talk to faculty, get a better sense, and different faculty, because each career is a little different. So trying to find somebody that's got a career path similar to what you're interested in, talk to them and say, hey, what do you recommend I do at this point? I often tell people, it's now becoming so molecular that you may even consider doing a molecular fellowship in addition to neuropathology. I also did, as I mentioned, a surgical pathology fellowship, and I think that's always really helpful. I think to be a good specialist, whether it's neuro or any other field in pathology, you have to be a good generalist first. So be really solid in your general surgical pathology and then go into your specialty after that. But things have changed, I think, since I was first starting. I mean, you could really be a generalist back then, and today it's almost impossible. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, every field is exploding. It's mm-hmm. just impossible to keep up with every field and do everything. So,
changing gears a little bit, when did you get interested in classical music, and did you get trained in that?
Yeah, so that's a interesting question. So I started off with folk guitar, my musical training, when I was in fifth grade. And that's mainly what I was doing for a few years. And then in the middle of high school, I got together with some friends and put together a rock band. And so I was interested in classical rock more than classical music at that point. But the other guys, none of the other guys wanted to be the singer. And they were better than I was at guitar. My friend was much better at guitar than I was. So I said, okay, I'll be the singer. But if I'm going to do that, I better get some training. So I joined the choir. I started taking voice lessons. That's when I really got into more classical music, and kept up with that throughout college and later on more so than the rock music, even though I still enjoy that too. But I got more training and started singing with choirs, started singing solos, whatever I could, while still trying to learn how to be a physician and pathologist and so on. So I still do that and still enjoy doing that.
And how did you, when did the idea strike that you wanted to have a collaboration between your profession and your hobby in a way?
Yeah, so that story was in my second year of pathology residency. So we had a once a week conference where the residents would pick cases to show at the multi-headed microscope to the faculty. And just go over the cases. And the attendance was starting to go down. And one of the faculty made the mistake of saying that she thought the residents were not entertaining enough. And I couldn't let that challenge go. So that weekend, I wrote my first pathology song. It was the Schwannoma song. And next week at the conference, I pulled out a Schwannoma. I showed it at the microscope, and then at the end, I pulled out my guitar and sang the Schwannoma song. And probably by the end of the song, there was probably three times as many people in the room as when I started, because everybody that was walking by the hallway wanted to know what the heck is going on, so they came in. But then I thought after that, you know, when I do some teaching, medical school teaching, residency teaching, this is a great fun way for people to learn about neurologic diseases. So that's how I started. Then when I started teaching, I just added songs along the way. And then in 2010, I put it all together for an audio CD. Mm-hmm. Hardly anybody has CD players anymore. So now my latest, during the pandemic, I knew nothing about video recording, but during the pandemic, I learned enough recording and editing that now I'm in the process of converting all these songs into video versions with a visual, like I'm giving a lecture with PowerPoint slides, things like that. And so I think I've got 14 or 15 of the songs converted. I've got another maybe 5 or 6 to go.
Right.
Wow, I haven't done it in impressive. A while,
but I need to. I need. There's a few more songs I need to convert to video version.
So I've heard many of those songs. I remember when I was I think I was a first year resident probably, and I was trying to read a little bit about Neuropath for my RISE exam, and our attending at the time, he was like, just listen to Ari Perry's songs. I was like, okay,
that's funny.
Yeah, and so my last question is, like, with molecular now, there's so much molecular in neuropathology, I mean other areas as well, but particularly neuropathology, are you going to update the songs?
When I did the videos for right. all of these songs, I had to do updating, in some cases, almost every word. You know?
Yeah.
In other cases that are still mostly morphology-based, you know, relatively little updating. But I remember the astrocytoma song. I think there's almost no overlap with the original lyrics. so much had to be changed. So yeah, it's true. And some of the songs probably that I've already put out are starting to become out of date. So what can you do?
Yeah.
Every few years, maybe I'll have to update the lyrics or something.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Ari Perry. That's our show for today, folks. Thank you very much for listening to us. If you like the show, please like and subscribe to our channel on YouTube, Apple, and Podbean. And we'll be back for another episode soon.
Special thank you to our listeners. Until next time, enjoy an excerpt from an upcoming interview with Dr. Eric Salazar.
One is that in COAG, you still get to see patients. So it is not uncommon for us to conduct an extensive interview with a patient that is suspected of having a bleeding or clotting diathesis, right? Some kind of bleeding or clotting disorder. And, you know, we conduct extensive interviews, physical exam, and then decide on what kind of tests we want to do to make a more definitive diagnosis than that patient may have had. Second reason, so you get to impact patients on an individual level.
Mm-hmm.